This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
And you are tuned to listener-supported commercial-free community radio WBAI, WBAI.org, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. It's 1 p.m. in New York City, 75 degrees and sunny, partly sunny in New York City. Coming up next, The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille.
This is Armand DeMille with you, with The Positive Mind, WBAI, 99.5 FM on your dial. Hey. That's nice. Fear is such an interesting thing. Nowadays, we're at a place where we are concerned about courage. We're concerned about courage. We want to know about how and what courage is. We see people that we consider to be very brave in the middle of things, and it just doesn't seem to make any sense. Some of it that doesn't make sense to me is that which looks like courage very often is not. So if it's not courage, what is it? Right? I mean, what are you going to call a man who rushes into a burning building to save lives? You're going to say, well, that's courageous. How dare you talk against it? What do you call a soldier who's willing to fight and blow up things in Iraq? You know, I mean, he puts his life at stake. That's brave. That's courageous. Well, what is that courage? What is this all about? Well, that's what we're going to examine today. Today we're going to look at fear. We're going to look at fear and we're going to look at courage. And there are truly, some truly, purely courageous people. Like some of the people here at WBAI are truly courageous. They face things that very few people would face. But then there's another side of courage. And I think you're going to appreciate this today. What do you fear? Think about your basic fears. And we're going to just start off with what are your basic fears. Like, and I say basic fear, I don't mean complex fears. I don't mean I'm afraid that one day the country is going to fall into the hands of the... You may be, but it means you're afraid of being controlled. See if you can get it down to one word. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of rain? Are you afraid of lightning? Are you afraid of thunder? Are you afraid of heights? Are you afraid of being controlled? Think about your fears, if you have any. And those of you who do have them, because I just want to do a little collection, and then we're going to show you something about it, call us in right now at 212-209-2900. It's not going to be a complex conversation. This is just going to be, you're going to give me a one-word thing that you're afraid of. And then I'm going to show you something about fear and how it relates to courage. And it's not what you think it is. It's actually the opposite of what you think it is. So get ready to take one of those wonderful rides on the roller coaster of the positive mind. 212-209-2900. Specifically, I can't say what are you afraid of because that dangles your participle, right? You have to say, of what are you afraid? What scares you? 212-209-2900. And please, again, leave the political statements for later. We're going to get to those, but I know they're there. But maybe I'll have to help you out. 212-209-2900. Let's take a call. This is Armand DeMille on the air. Hi there.
Hello, Armand. How you doing?
Good.
This is Rob. You're a massage therapist in New Jersey. How's everything?
Hello, Bob. Good. You're a massage therapist.
Well, actually, I called, this is my third time calling. I've called, two times before, and I graduate, next month, actually, October 27th, my graduation date.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I recognize your voice. What are you afraid of, Bob?
If I had to say I was afraid of something, let's see, could I say I'm afraid of overcoming procrastination?
You're afraid of, in other words, you're afraid to make decisions.
Well, I make decisions. It's just that I know that I have a problem with procrastination, but I still continue to procrastinate.
Yeah, I understand. No, it's not the exact word I'm looking for. I'm looking
for a
felt fear. I hear what you're saying, that you notice something about yourself that means that somewhere inside you, you know you're manifesting a fear and you don't know what it is. You don't really know what you're afraid of. You can't understand why you can't get to that decisive point. You know? And that I understand. So thank you very much. Nice to talk to you again. If I don't talk to you, congratulations on your graduation.
All right. Thanks again.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. Let's take another caller. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm afraid of enclosed spaces.
Great. Thank you very much. That's a perfect thing.
You're welcome.
And you're afraid of, when you say enclosed places, does that mean like an elevator?
An elevator, a room, a plane, a subway car, where I feel like I'm going to run out of air. I won't be able to breathe. I won't be able to get out. And it was a gradual thing. I wasn't always afraid of that, but gradually over the years, it started getting worse and worse. And now that there are subways where the cars don't open, now I'm terrified to get in the car. I do go in elevators.
Let me ask you when you get this, right? When you are in a situation where you're confronted by your fear, you feel your heart palpitating.
Yes.
Right? You feel almost out of breath. You start breathing real fast, right?
Yes.
Tell me more other symptoms that you feel. Do you feel like, what else? What else? Do you get warm or do you get cold?
I can't hear you.
Do you get warm or do you get cold?
My hands get clammy.
Clammy, sweaty, uh-huh. What else?
Yeah.
There's
terrible.
A general sense of panic, right?
Absolutely. It's horrible.
And can you stand still when you feel this, or do you feel that you've got to move?
I have to move.
Yeah. Good.
I get shaky. I have to move.
Good. Thank you very much.
You're
going to hear me talk about this today. 212-209-2900. We're not talking about fears, believe it or not. We're using this as an introduction to talking about courage from a different perspective, not what you think. Not what you think. Another call, 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, hi, you're on the air. Hello there. Yes.
Oh, hi, I'm sorry. I get nervous. I get afraid, actually, when I think about things like evacuation things with this whole Louisiana thing. I get very panicky. I start to think of details like, I should have an emergency kit that I would pack that would, you know, go with me. And then I just think of all sorts of bad scenarios. I don't know if that counts. But.
So basic survival kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's stampede related. It's related to a throng of people needing.
Well, that's really interesting. You know, throngophobia. I mean, I get it. Even though I'm joking about it, it's the fear that you're going to be in a situation where there's a sudden panic all around you and everybody's going to be rushing for an exit and you're going to be trampled underneath because you're just a small, scared person.
Yeah, or I'll do another variate. Yes, that's one of them. And I'll variate it with that I've got my little – this is so weird, but I think that I'll have my tidy little package of whatever, but that'll make me a target. Like, we'd be in a shelter and I'd have my little bunch of little survival things, and then that would be – like, what do you pack? Like, I get very nervous. What do you pack that wouldn't be, enticing for theft or make you...
That's right. So now you even hear that down... What's your first name, by the way?
It's Candy.
Candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Candy. So what do you pack that you have with you that somebody's going to want from you? So you have to be careful.
Right.
No, wait. You know, I know you're laughing about this, but I know that this really scares you.
It does, yes.
And you can't talk to anybody about it because they'd laugh at you.
It's just, you know, I mean, what would you do? I don't know what this is like. There doesn't seem to be a solution. I mean, ideally you would have something with your bank numbers and your toothbrush and a bunch of stuff for like a week or something. But what do you do, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this fear of being kind of overrun while you're trying to survive, I would say faces a good one-third of the population.
Right now,
survival.
Think?
Most people, about one-third of the people, if they had a fear, it would be about survival. I thank you very much for calling
Thanks
in,
for
Jamie.
Taking the call.
Yes, thank you. And now another two-thirds, there are two other great fears that people have. One is about being a social outcast, that somehow they would not fit in, that their great fear is that they're social outcasts, like, social phobias and people like that, people who are afraid that they're going to make a fool of themselves. A third fear is something to do with relationships, losing love, not having love available, not able to find love, being alone. So we have three kind of fears here. One is the survival fear. A second is a social fear. And a third is a relationship fear. Very, very interesting. We're going to see this manifest. You can break down almost all fears into one of these three categories. 212. Getting interesting, right? You're curious about where this is going. Where do you see this? 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm afraid of niggers.
Delay, I hope. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. My name is Jim. How are you?
Good, Jim.
I have a fear of change or fear of the unknown.
Fear of the unknown is a very, very strong fear. Change, you mean, in other words, you tend to like things to be the way they are and usual.
Yeah, and I think I hesitate in general to change my way of living, and I guess it's based in fear of the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen.
Okay, so take me on one of three trips, would you? Is it fear of survival? Is it fear of not having a social kind of environment that you're going to be okay with? Or is it fear of not having a relationship? Which of the three consequences?
I would say social.
And let's say within that social fear, what do you imagine would happen? If you try to make a change, what would happen?
Rejection. Fear of rejection.
Worst case scenario, rejection by the people around you. They will not take you in. They won't let you in. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's looking for kind of approval.
It's looking for the approval everywhere. And so there's a part of you that just sits you back and makes you not do it.
Yes.
Now let me ask you something, Jim. On the other side of this, just for a moment, because you seem to be a reasonable fella. I love that expression. A reasonable fella. On the other side of it, what symptom or what have you ever done that was so totally outrageous that showed an almost reckless disregard for people's concerns?
In a negative way?
Not a negative, but on the other hand, the guy who's the opposite of you that's in your body.
I started to take yoga. And at one point, I had gotten better and better at it, and I took the opportunity to somewhat show off a maneuver in front of a group of people, and that was, let's say, stepping out of my normal self and pushing myself out of my own little box.
And you did that, and you did it in an almost outrageous way.
Yeah, it was very much like an out-of-body experience. I don't even know how I did it, but it was like a instinctual.
Well, and was it like on, were you on automatic as you did it?
Yes.
Now, that's kind of what we're talking about. So people would say, how courageous of you. That's what people would think.
Yeah.
But you and I know it didn't have to do with courage, right?
Well, it was, I guess it was pushing my own envelope or just striving for something a little bit better and taking a little step forward.
Well, this is not a little step. You took a giant step.
Yeah.
See, the point I'm trying to make is that to every side of us, to every phobia we have another side that's the opposite of the phobia, which I call a counterphobia. And that the way that people function in life is they are either phobic, afraid, or counterphobic, regardless of their fear. Now, regardless of their fear means they take their fear and they ignore it and they jump ahead. And this, when people do that, is considered courage.
Yeah.
But courage is not going numb to your fear. Courage is feeling your fear and doing it otherwise. And what you described, Jim, and I really appreciate your courage in being so open on the air, what you described is how you almost stepped out of your body. See, so for a minute, you weren't feeling the fear anymore.
Yeah.
And those are counterphobic moments.
And they're extremely exhilarating.
Absolutely.
It is an experience that, I would hope everyone would have the opportunity to have.
So you were studying aggressive yoga? Like, like how to kill people with household implements yoga?
I'm not good in the kitchen. Yes, I mean, no, it was just a regular class, and I was able to just push my own self.
And what is the position called? I just got to know the names because I love the names.
There's two positions. One is called the crow, and one is called the peacock.
And which one did you do?
Both.
You did the crow and the peacock. Now,
yeah.
Jim, let me take it one step further, okay, if you don't mind?
Uh-huh.
I'm using as a basis of my thesis here, of my theory, that we have a part of us that's afraid and we have another part of us that is counterphobic. Now, in life, in general, would you say that you are a crow or a peacock?
Wow. I guess I'm a crow trying to push into the peacock world.
Right. And what would that mean for you? How would that manifest?
Well, I guess I've always held back so for so many years and have had somewhat of an underlying kinetic intelligence, physical ability, and I've kept it kind of quiet and not want to show it off. And so now that I've become more aware of what I'm capable of, I want to push myself further to see how far I can go with it. So it's like a little evolution of my own progression in my life.
One of the characteristics we think of when we think of a crow is we think of it as kind of opportunistic but frightened. One of the things we think of when we think of a peacock is that it's out there and not afraid.
Yeah.
Nice. Thanks to yoga, huh?
Yeah, it's very good.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Two sides of everything. The soldier who goes into battle is a frightened kid. If he's really going to do it and going to make it, he's going to be okay to be afraid. If he's going to get nuts, he's going to shut off his fear, and he's going to do this kind of wild act that's very likely to get him killed. Because if you don't feel your fear, you might stand up and just have your head blown off. Just because you don't feel the fear that would give you the apprehension that would make you keep your head down. So courage, my friends, a questionable thing. 212-209-2900. Let's take more calls. This is Armand Miller on the air.
Yes, hello, Ramon. How are you?
Good. Who is this?
Well, I call myself Benny.
Benny?
Yes.
Hello, Benny.
Hello. I guess I would say it would be a combination, I guess, public speaking or public performance, something where you have to be in the sort of the lead role.
Uh-huh.
I guess I would say that would be my fear.
And are you afraid of making a fool of yourself?
Yeah, I guess that's what it. Yeah, I guess that's it. I never really put it, put quite that finger on it, but I guess that's what it is, yeah.
And what it is, you would get up there and you would speak in public, and then something would happen in the way you were talking or in what you were saying, and you'd get tongue twisted or something like that.
Yes.
And then people would what?
Well, they would, I don't know, they may or may not laugh, but I would feel more like I would be losing credibility because I'm
losing
always...
credibility is a very important word.
Mm.
In other words, you would feel humiliated because you knew people were judging you, right? Like being
right.
A kid in a classroom. Were you ever a kid in a classroom when people laughed at you?
Yes, a lot.
Tell me about that. What did they laugh at you for?
Well, because I was heavy, I was fat. They teased because I was the dark-skinned girl and because of I was smart.
Mm. All of that put together. Well, you know, when they teased you about being smart, it didn't hurt so much, did it?
No, because, I mean, I like being smart.
Right, but they tease you about fat. That hurt.
Well, yeah, that was different, yeah.
And they tease you about this color of your skin. That hurt, too.
Well, yeah, definitely, because they always called it ugly, so, you know, that,
yeah.
You know. And I kind of got past that. I really never really believed that, but I did the fat part. I definitely didn't like. But I
didn't like the fat part.
Either.
And you know, and having people mock you and laugh at you is such a horrible feeling for a young kid. You carry that on, and you grow up in life. Now, let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a great dancer?
Yes, I am.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I got that feeling. And when you dance, is there no limit to how far you'll go?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I'll do it in the house, but I mean, I still love it.
Right. Now, how come you're not afraid of how you look?
How come? I mean, I don't know. I guess I like it. It's fun. And it's,
so there's two sides of you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a person who's afraid to stand up in front of anybody. Mm-hmm. And there's a person who is the wildest dancer that you could imagine. And she could let it all hang out, and she's terrific. So we've got two sides.
And actually, I would like to be a performer, too.
And you'd like to be a performer. Did you ever get out there in the world if you dance in public? Are you afraid of dancing in public?
No. I mean, yeah. I have sung in public, but it kind of still couldn't do it quite the way I wanted to. I felt like I had to hold back something. I just couldn't let it go the way I really wanted to.
Isn't that a funny thing? Imagine what it would be like to let it go the whole way. What would it be?
Well, I would feel great because it's really what I would really like to do.
Yeah, I could hear. But it's interesting that I could perceive you're a dancer.
I know.
How do I know that? How do I know?
Because
there
know.
Are two sides to everybody. There's
okay.
The person who is so concerned of being judged, and there's the other person like you who is a teacher. Now, when I say teacher, you're a teacher because every time you dance, you teach. Every time you dance, you teach about life. You teach about spirit. You spread some beauty in the world. You keep that moving. You got a special gift. I thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you very much, Amon.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Yes, we're talking about fear. We're talking about the things that frighten you. And on one hand, and then we're talking about this other side of it. It's like for every passion you have, there's a counter-passion. For every fear you have, you know, I mean, when I say passion, there's a counter-passion. If you're somebody who has a great passion for sex, on the same way, there's some part of you that's afraid of sex. If there's a part of you that is afraid of love, there's another part of you that loves with amazing abandon. If there's a part of you that's afraid of being confined, there's another part of you that confines yourself. If there's a part of you, you know, like if there's a part of you that is terrified of being sick, there's another part of you that makes yourself sick. If there's a part of you that's afraid of death, there'll be another part of you that is very attracted to death. This is Armand DeMille, 212-209-2900. Light subjects we carry here on WBAI. It's called The Positive Mind. But let me tell you, the idea here is the more you know, the more you grow, the easier it is to be in life. You get double. You get double. You actually double your lifespan because you're awake, you know, instead of being asleep like so many folks. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Like so many folks? 212-209-2900.
You have to shut off your radio.
Take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Like so many folks? 212-209-2900. That's it. Now, we have to start again. You do have to turn down your radio like the engineer told you. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Armand DeMille. Hello there.
How are you?
I'm great.
I know I'm not afraid of you.
Uh-oh. Well, that means you are.
No, that means I love you.
Yeah, I know, but it also means you're afraid of me.
Why?
Because you're afraid I'm going to say something about you that's really going to touch you on some level and it's going to really make you choke up.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
But what I am afraid of is I'm afraid of the sight of blood. If I just hear like an ambulance, or if I'm driving and I see the flashing lights and I know there's an accident, I start to sweat, I get nauseous. I'm trying to block my face so I don't see the accident and trying to drive at the same time. It's a mess.
What's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa. Lisa, when that happened, did you ever have that happen as a kid?
Have an accident?
Were you ever in any part? Did you ever lose anybody to a terrible accident?
No, I don't know where it comes from. I'm thinking it might have been in my past lives or something.
No, how about this? Did you ever imagine yourself so angry, Lisa, so angry, because you're such a loving person, but did you ever imagine the rageful part of you?
Did I ever imagine it?
Yeah.
No, I don't imagine it, because I always think that I'm very good at having that under control and doing what I need to do and doing the right thing at the right time.
So rage is under control.
I think so, but...
Okay, now that's a very interesting thing, because rage under control means that rage exists, but it's under control.
Yeah.
Which means if we were to take the control off, you know, like let's say, Lisa, you had a child that, or a puppy or a cat, and somebody wanted to hurt them badly and take them away and really hurt them. You think you'd be able to fight for somebody?
Oh, yeah. I would be like one of the... They'd be messing with the wrong person.
Because you'd be fierce?
Very.
So
and
fierce.
I'm not afraid of confrontation.
So fierce that you could easily take somebody and bop them over the head with a stick and make them bleed.
Oh, yeah. I often.
And you won't be afraid of the blood then, would you?
No, and I often think, like... it's funny because I do often think, like, when I hear of women being raped and stuff, and I always say, if that ever happened to me, if I was ever in that position, I would just gouge the person's eye out, which is a pretty bloody, gory scene.
And you don't get nauseous from the thought of that.
No, but I know.
I mean? So we have two sides of you. What we're saying is Lisa, the lovely Lisa, is afraid of herself. That's what you're afraid of. You're afraid of this other side of you that has this aggressive, passionate side that, you know, could kill if it needed to.
Yeah,
it's appropriate, like everybody else is capable of.
Yeah, I do feel bad that I would, like, hurt another human being like that. But I'm thinking, you know, if it's life and death, that's what I would do. I would either gouge their eyes out or bite that private part that they might be trying to put in my mouth.
It's quite an image.
Yeah.
I got it. So we're saying that there's two parts of you. And the part of you that you're the most afraid of, and when every time you hear the sirens, it brings up your own potential for bloodletting, you know, in crisis. Even though it is defense, there's a part of you that's just very angry.
So what should I do to
recognize,
help?
Recognize both sides.
Okay.
Get to understand both sides.
Okay.
Be able to talk about both sides, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you. Love you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to take a little energetic musical break because we need that here at WBAI. And when we come back, we'll take more of your calls.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and this is WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Oregon Nights. Just couldn't take it away from you, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays here at WBAI normally, 99.5 FM. Just in a little update, tomorrow we should be talking about some new concepts about pain. Interesting to look at pain in light of what we're talking about here. People who feel pain, people who don't feel pain, people who feel pain and are terrified by it, people who have what they call catastrophic reactions to pain. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. Roberta Atti should be back from Italy at the time, and we'll have that discussion. But right now, if you've just tuned in to who's playing that terrific music, it is the radio station WBAI, listener-supported. And here's what we do here. We bring you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And today we're talking about fear and courage. A very interesting word, courage. As they say in my culture, courage. Courage. They used to say that when I was a kid. It meant something, you know. It meant that's an Italian way of saying that was brave of you. But what is brave? Some people believe that brave is the ability to shut off your fear and do it anyway, whatever it is. You're afraid of flying, you just go numb, and you get on the plane and you fly. They call that courage. Well, all right, that's dissociation. That's the ability to dissociate. That's the ability to shut off your stuff. You're afraid of being in love? You know, you jump in anyway. You just jump in. You get married. But you go numb. You don't feel anything. You're afraid of things that you just jump into, called counterphobia. What you're doing is you're indulging yourself in the thing that you fear the most, but you're doing it without feeling anything. So, about it. Counterphobia is not courage. It's a caricature of courage. It looks like courage. You know, it smells like courage. It tastes like courage, but you're not home. So how could it be courage? You're not there. You're beside yourself. You left yourself to do this thing. Now, for some people, that's the only way they could do something. You have a fear of public speaking. Right? You get up there and you speak out in public. And you go numb when you're talking out there. But the real ones, the brave ones, they get out there and they show their fear while they're speaking. See? And then it begins to get better. Then it's not they're just one thing or another. They're the person who speaks who's dead. And they're always stiff when they present themselves. And the person who's, on the other hand, who's terrified. People who are really amazing are the people who overcome and feel it. That's why I like Roberta Atti and the way she speaks. At one point in life, Roberta Atti, and she's told the story on the air, was an insufferable stutterer. She couldn't speak. She couldn't string two sentences together without stammering. And little by little, she developed her speech. And now, here she is speaking in Italy in a group of physicians and giving lectures to people all over the world. And how does she do it? And she does it, and in the middle of it, the stutter will leak back in. But she doesn't criticize herself. She doesn't beat herself up. And she's not terrified of it. 212-209-2900. We're talking about the things you fear, and we're talking about the counterphobic side of you. You know, there are certain people who you could see this in all the time. For example, sometimes you see it in people who are very religious. There's one part of them that's very religious or very righteous. And, you know, there are those people who are perfectionistic kind of people. Very righteous, very religious on one hand, because you could tell that they're very afraid of something. They're very afraid of looseness, so they're very, very tight. But then you discover, you know, that they had affairs with altar boys or something. You find there's this other side of them that is completely outrageous. that wasn't thinking at the moment. You know, they lost themselves. So, you know, on one level they're very judgmental, on the other level they're very indulgent. Telephone number here, 212-209-2900. Let's take another of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, yes.
Hi, Armand?
Yes, that's me.
Yes, how you doing? This is the Sun Man. I'm listening to you for a long time, and I've never heard the concept of being negatively positive.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'd like to send you something I wrote about being negatively positive.
Sure, why don't you do that? You can find my, you can call my office and get the address and send it to me.
Okay.
And what does it mean to be negatively positive?
Well, it's not, it's negatively positive. It's a sort of an attitude. It's like, you know, you got people with a positive attitude and you got people with negative attitudes. And I consider myself to be negatively positive, meaning that if I hear something, like if somebody called me and says, hey, I got some news about your brother, what I'll do is I'll think the worst first. I'll put my mind to the absolute negative as far as I can think. And then if anything is not depth, it's all good. It's like preparing myself, you know, for the worst, but still, you know, being very positive at the same time.
Boy, what's your name again? Your Sunray? Sunman?
They call me the Sunman.
Uh-huh. So listen, Sunman, I know that's what they call you. What's your name, though?
My name is Lloyd.
Lloyd. Lloyd, let me ask you something. Not that I don't mind calling you Sunman, except I really like making the contact with you, Lloyd. Lloyd, I could picture you as a kid imagining yourself getting in trouble, getting caught by your father who's going to beat the hell out of you, and you just imagined the worst, and then anything that took place was okay. Is that true?
That's correct.
Tell me about
it. Absolutely.
Tell me about it. Tell me about the way you would behave with your father.
Well, it was like this. I know when I was like in second grade, I was always getting in trouble. I mean, I get notes from the teachers and everything, you know. I was a middle child, so if something went wrong with the older child to blame me or the younger child to blame me, I'd get caught. So it's like condition myself to get a spanking every day. So, you know, when I got home, if I didn't get a spanking, you know, everything was great. But then if I did get a spanking, I was prepared for it.
So that's the way you did it. Your negative positively pulled you through a childhood where there was an awful lot of stuff coming in your direction, and the way you did, and you just couldn't control yourself, and you knew you were going to get blamed, so you got prepared for a spanking. Spankings ever get worse than spanking? Did you ever get really kicked around? Did you ever get thrown against a wall?
Oh, well, no, not by my folks, but, like, you know, I kind of grew up through the gang era. There was a lot of gangs out there, and, you know, you have to be prepared, you know, for a lot of stuff. And that's just, you know, I guess that's self-conditioning and stuff like that.
And so when you get into a gang fight, for example, right, or there's a fight or a battle or something going on with a gang, you always anticipate the worst that could happen.
And if you
come out of it with a black eye or a bloody nose or, you know, something like that, it's really okay. You listen,
yes.
I'm hearing some noise there, Lloyd, in the background. So, thank you.
Okay.
Send me the
article. Okay, yeah, I'm in a truck. All right, so I'm going to send you a copy of the book. It's called The Art of Living Negatively Positive.
I thank you so much, Lloyd.
Okay. It's available on the website, Amazon.com. I'm going to send you a copy, though.
Thank you so much, Lloyd.
All right, thank you, Armand. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. And he drives. So, you know, there's another part. There is a part of people who are very envious. There's a group of people who are afraid of competition. They're so terrified of having anybody have anything that they have that they may want to have. And their keynote is that they are always afraid of they're always afraid that they're going to be competed against or something's going to be taken away from them. On one level. On another level, they're the ones who take the most away from other people. You see, that's the very same person who could be completely regardless of other people's feelings, not meaning not have any regard for other people. So here it is, on one level, you're afraid somebody's going to take something away from you, and on another level, you become completely, you don't care and you could find a rationalization for abusing anything. 212-209-2900, this is Armand. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'm calling Armand DeMille.
You've got me on the air now.
Oh, I do. My name is Dorothy, and I'm calling about a fear that I have.
What is that, Dorothy?
You're not going to believe this. Holes.
Yeah, no, I believe holes. Sure. Sure, all forms?
I think when it's like in a honeycomb.
I was going to say, how about a truck with a bunch of pipes on it?
Yes, absolutely.
Nobody understands that.
I know, me
Tell
either.
Let's describe what that's like. You're driving in a car, and you see a truck, and it's got, let's say, 100 pipes, and you're seeing the back of the pipes.
I panic. My heart pounds. My hands become sweaty. And I feel just panic-stricken. I feel like I want to scratch them away or destroy them.
Yeah. It's a terrible thing. What other form of holes? Now, I know you're not afraid of bagels.
No.
No?
No, I'm not.
And but other form of holes are things in honeycomb patterns, tight patterns.
Tripe.
What else do you see, you know, with holes in them?
Funny thing, screens don't bother me because I can see through them.
Yeah. It's the these kind of tight holes that are together that you can't see through.
Exactly.
That you could almost fall into or something could creep out of.
I've never thought of that. I don't know what the fear is. I don't go beyond that panicky feeling. One time I told someone that was in the psychology field, and she said that I was afraid to be born.
Uh-huh. Interesting concept, isn't it?
Mm.
Interesting concept that somehow has to do with the birth canal. Or something like that.
That's what she said. I don't know. Of course, I don't remember that. But I know it's very disturbing. And I have the same feeling and the same panicky feeling when I look at a bulb of garlic that has started to mature. And they're starting to unfold a little bit.
So again, you know, something emerging, something creeping out of it. What about other things that are creepy crawlies, like the bottom of a lake?
No, spiders.
Spiders are creepy crawlies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so something could get out at you, something from the mysterious unknown, something from the depths, something from the bowels of something can come out and kind of get to you in some way.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and I'll bet that's real primal. I bet that goes all the way back to when you were really little.
Probably.
Really, really little, you know, like it's something that develops. I knew somebody who as a child, right, was told by his sister that he had a terrible incident once with mosquitoes. Now imagine you're a baby laying in a crib. There's a window open. There's no air conditioning. And that mosquitoes enter your room and start biting a baby. Imagine if a baby were tortured like that for like about 8 hours and nobody attended to it. Imagine what permanent damage that could do to a child. Constantly being bitten and hurt, and you couldn't defend yourself, and pain after pain after pain. Things like that make these lasting impressions, but you're an infant, so you never communicated it to anyone. And you never communicated it, and there you are, and you have this horrible, horrible fear of the rest of your life of insects.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know why, because it took place at some really early time.
Yes.
You know, there are therapies that are what they call regressive. And in a regressive psychotherapy or in a hypnotherapy, both, sometimes they could unrelease or find the core of that if it's something you really want to dig into. If not, just avoid the pipes.
I've thought of that.
Yeah, I think it may be an area, you know, to explore because I hear you not okay with it.
No.
I hear you saying, no, I don't want to live this way.
I'm terrified.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen often, but when it does, I'm paralyzed.
What did you say your name was? Dorothy?
Yes.
Hey, Dorothy, did anybody else ever in your life know automatically about the fear of the pipes?
No.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. I tried, Armin, can I change the subject for a second?
Sure.
I tried to call you a while back on your program about names.
Yes, we did the show on names.
I know, and I wanted to get through to you so bad.
Tell me why.
because my mother has never called me by my name. She calls me you people.
Oh, my gosh. Your mother calls you you people?
You people.
She treats you like you're a hole.
Like I'm a hole?
Yeah, she treats you like you're a hole. Like you're just one hole of many holes. She treats you like you're a honeycomb. Like you're a pipe in a group of pipes. Like you're empty. Like you don't exist.
You think that's related?
What did you say?
Do you think that's related?
It absolutely sounds related. How many children do you have? How many children in your family?
Oh, three of us.
Are three of you, and your mother calls you you people?
Yes.
Wow. So that's quite an attitude that she must have had. Did she have other people included in the you people besides you three children?
No, it's just the three of us.
And give me an example of how she would use the phrase.
Oh, gosh. When she moved closer to us, and a tree was gone from in front of her place, and she said, well, you people made me buy this. It's very judgmental. It's accusatory.
And what happens on your birthday?
Oh, no. She's fine.
Does she call you by your name?
No, she's never called me by my name.
She's never, ever, ever called you by your name?
Not to my face, no.
Hmm. Let me ask you this.
And it's the same name. She has the same name. I thought maybe she had trouble with that.
Boy, that kind of makes some sense, huh? That she has trouble with her own name.
Yes.
But let me ask you one more question. If you could tell her now, even though I know you have told her to call you by your name, but if you were to tell her from your heart, from the heart of your heart, how important it is that she do tell you, call you by your name, just do it right now. I want you to imagine that you're talking into the ethers, and somehow the sound is going to get to her, but she's not going to feel blamed or anything. Just from your own soul, you know? I want you, Dorothy, to tell her now what it's like to grow up with somebody who has no name.
Oh, I can't do that. I've tried.
No, but I don't mean you have to do it to her for real.
But I have.
Try to do it right now, as if she could hear it.
Mom, I need you to say my name to me when you talk to me. Please, it will give me identity.
And when you don't say my name?
When you don't say my name, I don't feel as though you know who I am or even accept me.
And I feel like a black hole.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get emotional.
Oh, it's okay by me. It's what we do around here. Thanks. Dorothy?
Yes.
I love your name. I love your name, and thank you. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for being so open.
Thank you, and I love you. I love your show.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
People are funny, aren't they? Imagine bringing up a child so that child has in their life, you know, that they can actually feel this missing part of them. But, you know, what do we want from children? Do we want children? I mean, isn't the ideal that somewhere the kids have a happiness to them? Isn't that what we're looking for? Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. If you want a copy of today's program, you would call my office at 212-757-4488. Special thanks to all of you who called in. A copy of today's program, I told you, and the email armand@brainlink.com.
and you are tuned to listener-supported, commercial-free, community radio WBAI, WBAI.org, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. You know, I am kind of glad that earlier in the program that caller did get out and shared his feelings. And you know what? Maybe we should talk about that issue right here on this radio station. Fear of a black planet. That is what he was sharing with all of us. Coming up at 2 p.m. will be the Tuesday Arts Magazine right here on listener-supported, commercial-free community radio WBAI.
So who are the authors?
Authors? What authors?
The authors that are coming to sign their books at the book fair.
The WBAI book fair?
Yes, the book fair at WBAI from Monday, September 26th to Friday, September 30th.
From 3 to 9 p.m.
So what authors will be there?
Monday, Penny Arcade, Aaron Bell, Jennifer Hairblower, authors who contributed to Captured.
Clayton Patterson's film video history of the Lower East Side.
Tuesday, it's Esther Kaplan, Doug Henwood, and Pamela Johnson, who write about fundamentalism, economics, and sex.
I'm writing it down.
Wednesday, Columbia expert Mario Murillo, Mark Blitzstein scholar Leo Lehrman, and authority on astral healing, Dr. Rakesh Kumar.
Be there Wednesday.
Thursday, poet Luis Reyes Rivera, novelists Elizabeth Nunez and Colin Channer, and Bill Weinberg.
His book is about Chiapas.
Friday, Bijou Matthew on taxis and Janet Coleman on improv.
And bargain books, CDs and stuff?
And signed first editions of brand new bestsellers.
The WBAI Book Fair.
120 Wall Street, 10th floor.
Bring a photo ID.
Don't forget your reading glasses.
Oh, right.
Books, authors, and reading glasses, the WBAI Book Fair. Once again, we're located at 120 Wall Street, and we are on the 10th floor. You are tuned to listener-supported, commercial-free, community radio, WBAI, WBAI.org, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. Do stay tuned.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations. That's TalkBack right here on WBAI New York.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Arts Magazine. This is Prairie Miller, and on today's show, Joyce Jones with her continuing report on the Women in Jazz Film Festival and a conversation with drummer Cindy Blackman. Joyce also has a pair of giveaway tickets. Peggy Dominique checks out the Philadelphia Dance Company and talks to the artistic director Jan Brown. Isa Goldberg with a quick...
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.